All right, AMA, as we do every single Wednesday at this time, you ask, or at least someone asks, on Facebook, Twitter, and the text line, and we answer questions, Mr. Rich.
Ask Me Anything brought to you by Busch Auto Group. Shop a wide selection of Nissans, Infinities, and hundreds of pre-owned vehicles at BushAutoGroup.com. Philly rides with us.
All right, birthday boy Seltzer, I got the first question to you.
Ooh.
How's the birthday going so far?
Pretty good so far.
Good.
Yeah, no complaints. You know, minus waking up early, which was going to happen no matter what.
Yeah.
It's been good. No complaints.
Good deal. All right, give us some good questions.
All right, shout out to Joe Cornick. He has got the first question from Twitter. Joe asks, we know that Joe's best friend is Fred Barnett, but Richie, any former Eagles or any NFL player you consider your best friend? You know, a dude you would maybe even go on vacation with like Joe and Fred do.
I would say those guys are guys from Michigan and Stanford that I went to college with, you know, that I'm closer with. But I love Brian Westbrook, and I hope I didn't stomp on that when I was running for state senate and I asked him to come and stump for me. That was very helpful for my campaign, but it was a big ask.
It's a big
hey,
ask.
Bri guy, you want to come out
right.
and put on a suit and tell people that they should vote for me?
But well, he did.
He
right?
did. Okay. And I thought that was such
what a
an
nice
incredible
thing to
gesture.
Do. Yes.
An incredible,
it is
I mean,
nice.
He came
so you think
all the
you've
way
worried
to Harrisburg.
You've ruined your friendship? Is that the concern
I was worried about it, but he's such a stand-up
Let me tell
guy.
You this, Sean. Let me allay. Is that the word, allay your worry?
Yeah, that works.
Let me
very
allay
nice.
Your worry. I talked to Brian, I mean, this goes back 3 or 4 years ago, about you, and I saw no signs of cracks in your friendship.
He's a good dude.
He really cares about
so
us.
So should we say
guy.
Best friends, or are we not going to do that?
Let's not go that far.
I'm just checking.
All right, James, let's do a couple more.
All right, any new movies or TV shows seen?
Yes.
Ooh, quick yes there.
Major recommendation. I think it's fantastic. Maybe everyone won't agree. I think the Game of Thrones prequel is awesome. I think
House of the Dragon?
I think it's fantastic.
You're just getting on that.
I'm just getting near finishing season two. So season one, when I watched it last year, I thought was like really good, like a B plus. I think this season is an A. Like, it's not the A triple plus. The Game of Thrones was an A triple plus. I think this is an A show. I think it's really good.
Totally is. I just forgot that was like a new show because I watched
it. Well, it was about 4 months ago, 3 months
six
ago.
6 months.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just getting
awesome.
Around to it.
Yeah. So awesome.
It really
love
is.
It. I love the focus more on dragons also.
Let's put it
it's
this way.
It's not crazy over the top, more dragons, but I like seeing them in action more.
It's not Godfather 3. Like, there are some things, prequels, sequels, that just don't meet the measure. I mean, this isn't Game of Thrones, but it's really good. And it's a well-conceived show. By the way, I looked it up the other day. They have no plans as of now for a spinoff of a sequel with Jon Snow, which was discussed about 2 years ago. They said apparently they just cannot figure out a good storyline. And so it's just not getting on. But you do need that.
Like,
you can't do it if you don't have a good story, or you're just going to make a lot of money but take a lot of people off. James, let's do one more.
John, no movies or TV for you, I'm assuming?
Nope.
Okay.
Football.
Highlight.
Just checking. I had
football
to ask
film.
The questions for both of you, not just for Joe. All right, last one. If you could ask your future self, one thing, what would it be?
Are you happy? And then adjust accordingly.
Well,
I think
it's funny.
Really straightforward. Hey, are you happy? Okay, let's re-evaluate and go back and figure out how to make you happy.
I view it similar but through a slightly different prism. If I'm asking myself 20 years from now a question, I'm asking myself, did you make the right decisions to make you happy? Like, did you chart a good course, or did you make mistakes along the way? Look, we all make some mistakes, but you hope not to make whopper of mistakes. I would ask myself, did you make good decisions to lead to happiness, or did you screw things up? Time will tell. We'll see. With that,
you
AMA.
You can find out if we're going to win any titles in the future and say you're worried about yourself. I say
yes, that's right. It's all about happiness, James. And with that, birthday boy should know that. We shut it down.
Well, you imply that happiness doesn't come from our team's winning championship.
James, question for you.
Yes.
Would you rather be a happy person with 0 Philly championships or a miserable person with 10 Philly championships?
I don't think it's possible to be miserable
that,
if they won
Seltzer!
10 championships. But I get it.
All right, and with that, we shut it down. It's got a lot of calls in here. 215-592-9494. Salvador in Coatesville, the home of Rip Hamilton. Good morning, Salvador.
Yes, the home of Rip Hamilton. Happy birthday, Jimmy. My birthday's Friday, man.
Oh, happy best birthday, man. Mike Schmidt's birthday on Friday as well.
Oh,
how about
sweet.
That?
Happy
how about
birthday.
That?
Hey, Salvador, my senior year in high school, we played Coatesville twice.
You guys lost, didn't you?
No, we beat you twice.
Oh, crap. Yeah. That's on me. Hey,
you had some good players, though. You had this guy named Clint Cease, who ended up going and playing linebacker at Penn State.
Maybe he's listening right now, John.
He was a good outside linebacker.
Cease.
Gave some pressure off the edge.
There
and he could also set the edge when they're...
Imagine if he is listening right now. He's like, no way!
Listen, I guarantee you, at the very least, he's getting text messages right now, because that's how it works. All right, Salvador, give us what you got on the Philly sports scene.
Oh, I cannot watch this guy pitch again. Please. Yeah. I was watching the game last night. My girlfriend, before we turned the game on, actually, I turned the game on, it was like 6-1. She goes, oh, they probably got that Walker guy pitching. And she doesn't even like baseball. Like, I can't watch this anymore, man. Like, why do we have to keep watching them? There has to be somebody else. Like, Jane said his daughter can probably pitch better than him. Let's put her out there. Let's do something.
Well, Salvador, you know what's amazing? And has been discussed, but maybe not as much as it should have been, is how little the Phillies had in the farm system ready to go. Because if they had, and I mean, they did try other people. Let's not act like they didn't. And, oh, you know, other than Turnbull, who, of course, gave him a good work in April and then got injured, and that was it. I mean, it's astounding. It's astounding to have a farm system and not have anybody that can give you anything. I got to tell you, in my lifetime, I've never seen anything like it. Like, I saw Izell Jenkins as the worst Eagles defender on an incredible Eagles team of defensive players, and it's like that felt imbalanced. We saw Mark Ivarone in 83 with the Sixers, where it's like you got four potential Hall of Famers. You know, you got Cheeks, you got Tony, you got Doc, you got Moses, three of them made the Hall of Fame, by the way, Bobby Jones off the bench. And then it's like you got Mark Ivarone, but at least Ivarone played defense, he rebounded, he hustled.
He took up solid minutes.
Yeah, like, no, I'm not ripping Mark Ivarone.
Well, clearly you are.
Well, he wasn't Dr. J,
yeah,
you know what I mean?
He wasn't Tywan Walker.
There was no way that was not a rip of Mark there.
Yeah. But I mean, this time, I don't ever remember in Philadelphia sports such imbalance. Yeah. It's staggering.
I mean, what's going on with Sanchez? Isn't he like what's going
Mark?
On with him?
No, that's which Sanchez?
Can he pitch?
Chris Sanchez.
Sanchez?
Yeah.
He'll pitch in the playoffs, either games 2 or 3 or 4. We'll find out. Salvador, give me a great answer here. Royal character from fictional world.
All right. Well, I looked this up to make sure I wasn't tripping. He was considered royalty. Let's go with King Kong.
King Kong.
Oh, wow. Yeah, buddy.
Wow.
That's an interesting
big answer.
It is. Wow, I hadn't even thought of that.
But the question is fictional royalty.
Yeah, he's
right?
A king.
Well, he's fictional, and he's
royalty.
The king.
But is he royalty?
Yeah, no, he's a king of his the apes, like of his crew of apes on Skull
Island. I don't know the story
Skull
enough,
Island
but
or whatever.
He does have the king term.
Yeah, it's king. It counts.
It's in there.
I don't know.
I don't either, but
if they go by king or queen, it counts, in my opinion.
And I also said some play on words.
He doesn't go by King
words.
Kong. Like,
he
no one's
so.
Calling him King Kong. He's on
John,
an island with a bunch of
John,
animals.
His name is King Kong.
Again, if it's in the name, it counts. End of discussion.
Dave Kingman. All right, Joe DeCameron, Jen Ritchie, coming up an awful lot. More on the Tywan situation, plus Ross Tucker at 740. Joe Conklin dialing some stuff up with... Seltzer, it's going to be some Nick Sirianni role-playing today.
Oh, great.
Oh, God.
It's going to be some, I wonder how that's going to go.
Some everyday life choices for Nick Sirianni, courtesy of Conklin. We'll have some fun with that. Plus, a question related to the Phillies and our show. Right on this Wednesday morning, and let me say, an incredibly gray Wednesday morning. There's like a...
Really?
Probably some drizzle. But let's put it this way. There's no sun. No.
Are you being affected, Joe? Seasonally affected?
See,
here's
the thing,
weather.
John. I look my best for those that don't know like how our studio setup is. The window to outside is behind me. So, John,
it's giving me a cataract. By the way,
and why is that?
I was told. You know how I was afraid to go to the eye doctor because
yes.
I thought I was going blind.
Years ago.
For a long time, I was very fearful that I was going blind. I found out that just in the left eye. I'm getting a cataract from sun. Now, it could be from driving. Now, it makes a lot of sense
because
that's the side where the sun's coming in.
Okay.
It could also be from our studio where the side that the light comes in.
I guess it could be.
Is the
We've
left
got,
side.
Like blackout shades, and I'm pretty sure the windows are shaded here. I don't know if that's
They
it.
Are
I
shaded.
I also didn't know that you could get a cataract from sun.
Yeah. Yeah.
How about that?
When you're 50. How stuff like that? This happens.
New fear unlocked right
it's
there.
It's just the start of a cataract.
Not good. Not good. All right. So let me, I want to pose two questions here. One related to our show, one related to the Phillies. So let me get to the Twitter poll question of the day, which is brought to us by Armin Chevrolet. We're, of course, with Armin as I flip through my pages here. Armin offering huge savings on every leftover 2024 Equinox remaining in inventory. Together, let's drive ArminChevy.com. So the poll, we have two different poll questions today. The first, which has been our primary topic today, do you believe in Nick Sirianni? Which is, it's a get-on-the-record day about the Eagles head coach. Do you believe in him as the head coach of the Birds, yes or no? Second poll question. So we did a poll a couple weeks ago. Do you want Dancing on My Own to be, you know, back in play for the Phillies? And more people said no than yes. Now, we found out two nights ago that they still have it in play. It wasn't in huge
It's in
play.
The rotation.
It's in the rotation. It's in
now,
the rotation.
That means that Garrett Stubbs is just going to play it when they're, like, after a game.
It's in there.
It's just going to be playing in the locker room. It's not the main song.
It's not. But it's not. It has not been discarded, which leads us to ask this question. Do you like that the Phillies are still incorporating it in the clubhouse celebrations? Yes or no? Now, I asked that to segue into this. I had a text message from a friend yesterday, and I asked my buddy this question, because I knew, like, yeah, maybe it's an interesting question for the show. And he said, no, don't play it, you know, 0 for 2 in the playoffs. And I said, well, because I'm pro-play it. And here was my response to him. I said, well, should they get rid of Bryce Harper and Zach Wheeler? They're 0 for 2 in the playoffs with those guys.
Should they stop playing High Hopes?
You know?
Right?
So I'm in on Dancing on My Own. But I know a lot of people, when we asked this a couple weeks ago, weren't. So I now ask, now that we know the team is still in on it to an extent, are you in on it because they're in on it? Or does your opinion go, get it out? Devin, what should they do?
I'm in on it. And what they have now is a remix of it. Their whole playlist for this postseason is a remix yes. of various songs. So look, we're going to want to hear it regardless, because that's what we're used to. Well, for the most part, I'm sure there's some haters out there who might not. But
a lot of people don't want it.
I associate it with the Phillies postseason and this Phillies team, so I'm for it.
Rhea, where are you on this one?
I have no problem with it. My favorite part about the playoffs the last couple of years is, you know, and James, I'm sure you hear this living in South Philly. I just, after games, I hear people driving down my streets
yes.
blaring it. And it just puts me in a good mood whenever I hear it. Usually after
I agree,
but I think it's fun. Doesn't
and they
bother
play
me.
It in Citizens Bank Park after a playoff win like that. That's what I think of when I hear that song. So.
But that's they played it and then they meaning after playoff wins
right.
a lot. Like James, poll result 70% a couple weeks ago, something yeah. like that didn't want it.
It is included on the mixtape. Essentially,
look, I'm in
like,
on it, but
the mixtape yeah. in our head, in our team's head, it's okay. It's not featured. It's certainly not the focus, but I'm okay with it being played every, you know, after a win. I just don't want it being incorporated as the main deal.
Well,
I feel like that part would be stale.
Okay, well, that's interesting. It's an interesting way to frame it. All right, so let me throw one more playoff-related
I like
question.
The tradition of including
well,
it,
I do too.
But I don't want it to be the main thing.
Dial it back.
Yeah.
Okay, which is clearly what they've done. Second question, and this one comes back to our show. Phillies uniform or not for me in the postseason?
Every game, right? Isn't that
yeah.
required?
Hold on. I need to jump in with one thing. We've had a few callers call and suggest this to me off the air, and okay. I think it makes a lot of sense.
Okay.
You wore the uniform, they made the playoffs
right.
the last 2
they
years.
They didn't lose because of me, but
they
go
didn't
ahead.
Win the division. But this year, Devin Caney wears the uniform opening day. They win the
sure
division. I'm just throwing it out there.
So, Devin, I mean, what are your thoughts here?
So, I will actually be down at the ballpark covering the Phillies for WIP. And fun fact, when you're covering the games, you cannot wear
no.
any Phillies gear whatsoever.
No. But what if there was a bet? And
nah, she couldn't do that. In the press box. You can't do that in the press box. That's not.
I would literally probably not be allowed in.
Yeah. No, you would.
It's why I don't go in the press box.
Yeah, no, I get it.
Right. So, Joe, it is all yours.
So,
I trust you to bring the good juju.
Well, I appreciate that. There's probably a lot of people that don't trust me. Like, here's my deal. I'll lean back in. Maybe it's last year if they don't win at all. We'll determine that next year. I will say this. If you saw this on social media yesterday, I apologize. This was not my idea. And I'm not ripping anybody WIP. I'm having some fun with this. I was asked, John, I'm not making this up. You don't know this. to do a photo shoot yesterday. Photo shoot the uniform.
That's why you had it on.
Yeah, I didn't want to wear the uniform because it's going to be for the playoffs, not for the Tuesday a week and a half before the playoffs. But I was asked
why you were putting it
photos,
back on.
Photo shoot.
Well, hold on.
That they're going to use in the postseason.
Well, there's, I don't know how I feel about
gonna,
that
you're ready for this? There's going to be a cardboard me in the uniform around town.
No.
This is a disaster.
Now, that's not my idea.
Everything about this is horrible.
I apologize to the Delaware Valley.
Can I warn you what's going to happen?
Yes, it's going to get decapitated.
It will be defaced.
Mustaches.
No.
You can finally grow a mustache. That's what a thrill.
All right, let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494.
Mustache is probably not as bad as it's going to get, is it?
In the words of Shaggy, it wasn't me. Well, it actually was me, but it wasn't my decision. But look, I'll lean back in, but they better do it this year. Let's go to the phones. 215-592-9494. And the Eagles, Sirianni, where do you stand? As I said at the start of the show, it is a get on the record about Nick Sirianni kind of day. Are you in or are you out? And if you're confused, talk to us about that. Here's where I am. I'm more out than in. I'm not 2 feet out. I'm 1 foot out. Because I do think he gets unfairly maligned. I don't think he's as bad as many think, but man, he does have some deficiencies, and that worries me a lot. Let's go to JB in Chestnut Hill. JB, good morning.
Good morning, everyone.
Hi, what's up, JB?
Hey, John, do you know, fun fact, can you tell me the difference between a turtle, a tortoise, and a terrapin?
A tortoise is land-based. A turtle is aquatic, and a terrapin is, I don't know, both?
Correct.
Wow.
Wow, John.
Are you serious?
He's spot on.
Wow, that's a great get, John.
And tortoises don't shed their shells with turtles and terrapins. Pieces of their shells shed to make them swim faster.
Mm. Oh, wow. Okay.
And the Algonquins used to call the terrapin. The reason why I came up with the name terrapin, it means edible turtle.
Really?
Wow.
Okay.
Yeah. All right, JB, what do you got on Sirianni?
I am exactly where you're at, Joe, which is very rare that you and I are aligned. I'm 1 foot off, leaning very far off, because it started with the flowers nonsense, and then it just seems like shtick, and then you get further and further away, and like it just seems like, okay, we're going to leave him in here as somebody to be controlled. He didn't hire the other two coaches that came on. He doesn't even seem to have anything in common with them. And then now he just wants to meddle just to let everybody know, like, hey, I'm still here, by the way. You know, I'm not just a figurehead. And it just seems like the team's winning in spite of him, like the last couple of games. I don't know. He just seems like he doesn't fit anymore for the team. Like,
well, maybe. So, look, my instincts, I'm with you on some of that, but here's the thing I do come back to fairly consistently. I think they like him a lot.
The players? Players like him? But, Joe, don't you understand? If you're a player and your head coach is like, hey, guys, 45-minute practice today.
No, I'm not talking about that.
That does make you like him a lot.
No, you're overrating that. Right. They want to win, too, John.
Yeah.
Don't they? Don't players want to win? They want a coach who can help them win. Don't you think they would not like Nick Sirianni if they really thought he couldn't help them win?
I mean, I've heard Jason Kelce talk a lot about Sirianni. And I don't think it's player talk or now recently retired player talk. When Kelce pumps up Sirianni, I think the guys, let me put it this way, John, I think they believe in him more than you do.
We've talked about Dallas Goedert, like not until last week, not being featured enough. You would think that guy would be annoyed with the play calling.
Right.
He was asked on Pat McAfee yesterday, you know, what he thought. Immediately, love the guy. It was.
Goedert, though. I mean, Dallas Goedert.
Yeah, but Dallas Goedert was.
John, who has said one, other than Jalen Hurts, who has said one bad thing about Nick Sirianni? Give us a player, just one.
Yeah.
Give me
well,
one player. No, seriously.
That's the point. Isn't that the point?
No, like, that
no
is our point.
No player's going to talk trash on the head coach.
Yes, normally it's not going to be public. But
what does that do?
No, I agree with you on that. But the basic point is, and JB, here's what I'm trying to drive at with you.
Good.
I share a lot of your sentiments, but I am struck by, I think they, look, other than the collapse, I think they play hard, and I think they not only like him, but respect him more than, like, for instance, someone like John Fitch.
Last year, we don't know what happened.
No, we don't.
in the dark times
we don't.
When things were
right.
just crumbling.
Yeah.
And don't you think it has something to do with
probably.
The head coach?
I think it had more to do with the quarterback, but we could go round and round on this forever. We don't know. JB, give me an answer here. A royal fictional character.
I'm going to go with Count Dracula.
Wow.
Yeah. Holy
count,
cow.
Count is a royal,
I love
yeah.
that a wow. lot. You know that that's wow. my name when I go to Starbucks.
What?
Dracula?
Yeah.
Like, that, no that's way. The name you give them.
Count? I know. I just go with Dracula.
It's a that's awesome. Move, giving a fake name.
God, you're weird.
No, that's. I love that. I think that's awesome.
That is unbelievable.
No one's ever going to take your cup. That's for sure. Yeah.
That's unbelievable. All right, James, I said earlier, we got some Nick Sirianni role play here because we're all trying to figure out.
Oh, buddy.
Would you say, is it fair to say he struggled with decisions the other day? I think it's a reasonable point,
I
right?
I think that is the prevailing sentiment around the Delaware Valley,
and
yes.
We wonder in his everyday life, like, is it that? I mean, I thought it was so clear the other day to kick some of those field goals, and then he didn't. So we wonder, like, in everyday life, John, what's going on? Let's peel back the curtain.
Oh, wow.
Of Nick Sirianni's life just when it's the mundane, the regular in the world.
The banal.
The
behind
banal.
The scenes.
Yes.
Decision making.
The everyday decision making of the Eagles head coach, Nick Sirianni.
Here we go. Sirianni is underway with his day, moving from right to left.
Right now, he's driving to the facility.
Uh-oh, the light is turning yellow, and he's too far away.
Red light camera detected ahead.
Not a good decision. Not a good way to start the day. Now Sirianni is stopping. He's pulling into a store.
Oh, let me swing in this bakery here.
What can I get you today?
Yeah, just the turnovers and the coffee.
Paper or plastic?
Well, you know, I could go paper. Plastic's great, too. But whatever decision I make, I'm going to feel good about because it's from the heart.
Sir, we close at midnight.
All right, you know what? Just pour it right into my hands here.
Sirianni douses himself with coffee.
Are you shitting me?
I'm the head coach. I stand by that decision.
Okay, it's Sirianni and Hurts out for a morning walk.
Yeah, Jalen, I love our walks in the morning.
The longest journey starts with the first step.
Always great to be on the same page with you.
Oh, watch out there, Coach. There's a big puddle in front of you.
That's no problem. I got this.
Kellen Moore says you can't make that jump. It's too far.
Sometimes I just overrule Kellen.
Sirianni took a leap and he didn't make it. He is covered in mud.
Not a good look for the head coach.
I want to be clear on that. That was on me. I overruled Kellen and I'm all covered in mud.
Everything's calmed down now. Sirianni and Hurts again. This time they're out for an afternoon jog, Mike.
Is the coach and the quarterback getting away from the facility for some bonding?
Great lunch, Jalen, but I think I ate a little too much.
You are what you eat.
You know, analytics say if you feel like you have to go to the bathroom, wait 37 minutes because it's better for your digestive system.
By the look on your face, Coach, I don't think you should have waited.
Let's pick up the pace here. We need to get back to the facility.
Coach, you should have called the tush push before you left.
I thought the fake tush push would have been better. I overruled Colin again.
Well, remember, Coach, don't look at it. Just flush it.
Oh, no, no. Another horrible decision by Coach Sirianni.
We don't play them till October, but the coach is already preparing to face the Browns.
good old Joe man. Conklin. The guy is, he's unbelievable.
Wow.
He's unbelievable.
That's good.
You know, it's just, it's the good. Everyday. Because that's the thing about the other day. I thought it was so easy to know what to do. They weren't complicated. They were simple. Anyway, great work by Conklin. He and I and Wechter were working through some scenarios earlier this week. Which type of life scenarios could we feature? And we came up with those.
Where'd you come up with the got to run to the bathroom one?
That was Joe. That was Joe. Uh-huh. Hey, make sure you see Conklin with the City Rhythm Orchestra at Cherokee High School in Marlton, New Jersey, Saturday, November 16th. It is this is really cool. The story of Philly sports through music. Also, Joe at the Media Theater in Media PA on Saturday, November 16th. It's the story again of Philly sports through music. Get your tickets at joeconklin.com.
And of course, it's Conklin's Comedy Night at Parks Casino every other Thursday. Tomorrow, the 26th, see Joe Bartnick from the Bill Burr Show. Get tickets at joeconklin.com.
All right, let's not lose sight of, by the way, Ross Tucker joins us in 5 minutes. Let's not lose sight of the Phillies from yesterday. So a couple things. First off, let's deal with the standings. Phillies lose, Brewers win. Brewers are still alive to get the bye, but they're not going to get it. Phillies could get the bye as soon as tonight. So, you know, the bottom line is they're going to get the Phillies are going to get the
Phillies
bye.
Phillies win or a Brewers loss,
yeah.
They get it.
That's not the question. The question is whether the Phillies are going to have home field throughout the National League. That means versus the Dodgers, and whether they're going to have home field in the World Series if they face the Yankees. Dodgers lost yesterday. Yankees lost yesterday. Phillies dodge a bullet. Now, if you didn't watch yesterday, I'm sure there's, you know, any number of people that didn't watch yesterday, Phillies game, and say, oh, those guys party too hard Monday night. That's why they lost on Tuesday night. That's not the deal, in my opinion, at all. I mean, they played their regular lineup other than JT. Okay, so Garrett Stubbs isn't in there. But I mean, Schwarber hits a homer. Bryce hits a homer. Look, they scored four runs. It wouldn't be what I'd call a game because the offense, like, was asleep and hungover and everyone had 37 beers and couldn't function. No, the reason they got bombed and bombed early was because of Taijuan Walker. It wasn't a hangover game. It was a Taijuan game. Listen, it was a brutal night. Frankly, the best moment, in my opinion, was not a home run by the Phillies. It was Rob Thompson finally, hopefully, for the remainder of the season, ending the fiasco of the Taijuan thing in front of the fans. I mean, saying, enough. Let's listen to the moment when the crowd realized, hopefully, enough is enough.
1-0 pitch. Swung on, line down the left field line. That one is a fair ball just inside the line to the corner. Hayes has it, fires it back in. Swanson into second with a double. Hap around to third. And there are two on with nobody out here at the top of the fourth inning. But well, I mean, how would you go about it if you're trying to fix something in the offseason? Here comes Rob Thompson, and he's going to make a pitching change.
I mean, just so the booze to cheers.
Oh,
is,
my God.
Is,
you know, the strikes and the balls were all but even. You know, he was unable to find the strike
zone. Not in the first two at-bats.
I
mean, that's a joke for those who missed it. First two at-bats, he comes in bases loaded, two walks.
Right. Walks, two runs home.
Yeah, I know.
The first thing you do is you give two runs to the opposition.
Don't even count on his ERA. Like, when you see him get bombed statistically.
Yeah, they go against Tanner
they're
Banks.
They're not even him.
Yeah. How about, do you ever remember two plays at the plate, back like almost back-to-back like that were that close, that were both safe?
Well, I remember two plays at the plate in the same play. Carlton Fisk, about 35 years ago, two guys in a row come around.
Yeah.
First guy tries to truck him. Fisk stands there like a brick wall, tags that guy out. Second guy's halfway up to home plate, thinks that Fisk is at the very least going to be moved back, and he'll have the advantage. Fisk stands there like a man, tags that guy out also. But I hear you, James.
Yeah, I mean, good. Austin Hayes, nice throws, at least.
Look, let me say this about Taijuan. It would actually almost be funny if it wasn't going to cost the Phillies home field advantage.
If they were four games up on the Dodgers, we'd be like, ha, look at this.
Like, guys,
thing.
There's a legitimate chance they lose home field advantage because of this issue. By the way, defined as two different things. One, how bad Taijuan is. Two, the absolute unbelievable inability. Like, I've never seen an inability to have anybody else come out and be a fifth starter. Like, you would think you could I could bring someone in from a nursing home who could do better. I mean, it's incredible. It is unbelievable. I mean,
John, once upon a time, Spencer Turnbull was really good.
No, but he's been injured. But right. My point is, other than him, that's it. I mean, mm-hmm. I'm looking right now at Taijuan stats. Since he came back, now he came back August 13th. Here's the game log. Some of these he started, some relieved, mostly started. Four innings, three earned runs.
Wow, it's a great game for him.
Yeah, 4 2 innings, three earned runs. 3 innings, 6 runs. Yeah. 6 innings, 6 runs. Yeah. 3 innings, 2 runs. Remember, he's supposed to give you like six or, you know, because he's a starting pitcher most of these games. 3 innings, 2 runs. 2 innings, 2 runs. Mm-hmm. 1 inning, no run. 3 1/3, 8 runs.
That's the thing. The
one inning, two thirds, three runs.
That 1 inning, no run, that was in relief. Remember that?
Yeah,
remember? We felt like, holy cow, maybe we got a new lease on life and Taijuan can come out of the bullpen and have some success. And here we are.
Yeah.
That was a pipe dream.
So
that's not happening.
They're still behind the Dodgers and the Yankees are right there. We'll see what happens. All right, Ross Tucker in about 2 minutes. Let's go to Mike right now. And Michael, you're on 94 WIP.
Hey, how are you?
Good.
Doing well, Mike.
Hammer, I don't agree with you, and I often, but I'm going to tell you. Last night, I was like, I can't wait to talk to you because I felt like we were not going to agree. You're so on point with Taiwan Walker.
Well, welcome to wisdom, first off, with agreeing with me. That, listen, human history has proven the more agree with me, the better your life will be. So continue, sir.
Wait, is there an opposite take on Taiwan Walker today?
That was what I was thinking.
Seriously, Joe.
Come on, Mike. I think we're all on the same page today.
Wait, Mike, what Rhea just said is the emperor has no clothes, and she's right. Yeah.
So post-game, Ricky Pitalico was saying, you know, you can't blame Taiwan because he was thrown in there because the bases were loaded, whatever. And I
blame
him. Whether he's a starter, whether he's a reliever, he just stinks.
Yeah.
I'm a season ticket holder. Spend thousands of dollars to watch that garbage, or if a family goes to watch that garbage, and then we just had to pay for the playoff tickets. This is crazy that he's still in there.
I know.
I don't understand why they don't throw him down.
Like, well, they did, to be clear, Mike, they did try. I mean, they moved him to the bullpen, you know, whatever, a month ago. They had three different guys, I think it was, after like one or two good starts. I mean, those guys cratered just as much as he did.
Tyler Phillips couldn't get through an inning his opportunity.
Yeah. Guys had to get sent down in the minor leagues, who, let's be real, never probably should have been up in the big leagues. Like, it almost reminds me of that year when the Flyers didn't have a starting goalie. Like, thankfully the Phillies have four really good, you know, starting pitchers. Now, Ranger, you know, right now has been a little different lately. But, I mean, there was a year when the Flyers, like, didn't have a goalie.
Like, last season?
Well, no.
How about the Phillies a couple years ago until they traded for Marsh with the center field
that's
thing?
That's another one.
Remember?
That's another one. But, like, they truly don't have a fifth starter. It's really wild. Mike, give me a great answer here, my man. A fictional royal.
Fresh Prince of Bel Air.
Wow. It's clever
answer.
It's a play on words.
Really great answer.
We said play on words would count.
And it is his birthday today.
Will Smith?
Yes, he has the same birthday. Yep.
Does Fox text him happy birthday?
Chris Rock.
I was like, Fox? Yeah. Mulder?
I'm getting my comedians confused.
I would say no. I would guess he
Chris
does not.
Chris Rock.
Yes.
I'm getting Chris. Wait, who's Fox?
Jamie Fox.
And we had Red Fox.
Sure.
And then we have Chris Rock.
There you go.
Jamie Foxx is not his real name.
Wait, which one was I at the party of? Who was I at the Super Bowl party of?
Jamie Foxx, I think. Because you were Jamie Foxx.
Let me tell you something.
I'm almost positive.
You know you've made it when you forget which superstars party you were at the Super Bowl.
You've told the story before. I'm pretty sure it's Jamie Foxx.
Did you see said superstar?
I did not. He was like upstairs. Mm. I hung with Gary Sheffield for about 2 hours that night.
Wow.
It was cool. Let me tell you something. Gary Sheffield, reputation, surly guy and all. Cool guy. Fun guy to drink.
Quickest
with.
Wrists like that I've ever seen in my unbelievable how he whipped that.
I hear you, my man.
Quicker than Schwarber.
Yes.
I've never seen anything like that.
I've never seen it either. It was incredible. It really was.
Similar. It must be similar.
I don't know, man. It was
Schwarber's more concise and quick to the plate. Like Sheffield would whip the bat around.
Oh, wow. He would whip it. All right. Okay. Ross Tucker joins us in 1 minute on an awful lot on the Eagles.
Are you ready to pop the big question? Have you started shopping for that engagement ring? I know you have a lot of options. The mega corporate chains, thousands of internet sites. But is it cheap you're looking for, or is it value? I want you to head over to Benari Jewelers and meet with my friends there before you make any decisions. They have two locations, Exton and Newtown Square. At Benari, you can buy with confidence and without compromise. I just visited with them. I was blown away by hand-selected diamonds from the world's premier diamond cutters, handcrafted rings from the most sought-after designers, and a lifetime of free service, including sizing and cleaning. And to top it all off, only Benari Jewelers offers an industry-leading 110% diamond upgrade guarantee. That means your natural diamond will never lose value when you're ready to upgrade. Why settle for cheap when you can have extraordinary? Discover Benari Bridal at Benari Jewelers at Exton and Newtown Square and online at BenariJewelers.com.
All right, Joe to camera, John Richie Seltzer. People know I'm joking when I say you've made it, right? I mean, I'm not that guy.
Yeah, okay? I would hope so.
Devin,
yeah.
People knew I was just kidding, right?
Yeah, for sure. I mean,
I'm just an arrogant jerk.
No big deal to you. You were at Jamie Foxx's party. You didn't get the invite. Congrats.
Here's what Devin just said to me about me not being haughty.
As if.
I'm just joking, everybody. All right. By the way, Ranger, let me just say this.
Ranger.
There it is.
Suave.
Juan
cuando tienes ganas un partido, Rangers, the band you want as your amigo.
I just say that
Still
to say.
Still needs to do a lot of proving. Like
that's my point. It's time to lock it back in.
We haven't
lock
seen
it back
great,
in.
Great Ranger for quite a long time.
I know. You know what we also
have? Which is unsettling.
You know what we haven't heard all day?
Because it's always great.
Devin started an Eagles chant.
I will never do another Eagles chant in my life.
Right, you don't need to. We're good. We got it.
Let's talk to Ross Tucker. He joins us every Wednesday at this time for an entire hour. Of course, Ross, wonderful work covering both the Eagles and the entire National Football League. He's got the Ross Report. He's a CBS announcer, and he's with us right now. Good morning, Ross.
Morning. How are you guys?
Good, buddy.
Super.
Ross, an awful lot going on here. Give us and we're going to probably more spin it forward, because the Saints game is going to start moving in the rear view. But just give us your biggest takeaway from that victory in New Orleans.
Well, three things, I guess. Number one, just the defense. I was not expecting that at all. That was awesome and impressive. And in particular, you know, Jalen Carter has best defensive player in the NFL potential. And the statistics don't nearly do justice as to just how dominant he was. And let's be honest, with this Eagles defense, they probably need him to be that type of player, you know, to be an elite player. So number one was just the defense, and in particular, Jalen Carter. Number two would be, you know, to not have A.J. Brown or Devontae Smith out there, and the Eagles still pulled out, and being able to lean on Saquon and Goddard is incredible. That's why you have that many, you know, elite guys, because if you don't have some, you got to be able to lean on the others. So curious in terms of spinning it forward, Joe, as to whether or not they'll be able to do that Sunday if the Eagles don't have Devontae Smith and A.J. Brown, you know, now that an opponent would kind of know that coming in. And then the last thing, I think there are takeaways moving forward from this game for both Jalen Hurts and Sirianni that I found fascinating. You know, the two things that I think were by far the most interesting to talk about and what they mean for the Eagles moving forward. The Saints cage rushed Jalen Hurts. And by that I mean most of the plays, they were not trying to sack him. If you watch, there's a reason why he had so much time. They were basically trying to keep him in a cage. Mm-hmm. They decided, Joe, they'd rather him throw the ball from the pocket than allow him to escape or allow him to run or scramble. I thought that was interesting. I thought it was a bad choice. I thought it was interesting. And then the Sirianni decision at the end of the first half, by far the most intriguing one he's made to me, really during his entire time.
Wow.
Because the Eagles have the biggest and probably the best analytics department in the NFL. And I know that they are very much a data-driven franchise. Jeffrey Lurie believes in it. Howie Roseman believes in it. They have a guy that all he does is help Sirianni in clock management, game management situations. He Sirianni totally went against the analytics there. I mean, there's not one single analytical model out there that would say them going for it in that fourth down situation was the right. Even if they get it, they have to call a timeout and just throw the ball. So the fact that, let me just finish real quick. Mm-hmm. The fact that Sirianni made a decision that was counter to what I think is sort of the Eagles' philosophy and counter to what the math and data tells us is fascinating to me.
So let's tackle that last point, because Ross, I've said this week, I'll say it again. If the score was 23-20, meaning I got a great offense humming, I would actually advocate going for it. Now, you might choose a different play, but, I mean, the Eagles' conversion on fourth and one is an incredible percentage. You dive forward, you call timeout quickly, you take 2 or 3 or 4 seconds off the clock, you'd have about 10 or 11 seconds left, you have one, maybe two shots of the end zone. I would actually be good with that if I trusted my quarterback and my offense in the moment. Where I thought it was so dumb, to use a basic word, I didn't think Sirianni felt the game. It wasn't 23-20, my offense has been humming. It was 3-0, my offense can't do anything. That's where I thought he really screwed up, not feeling the game. What's your response?
Well, but because there's no risk-reward ratio there that's even close.
See, I disagree. I'll tell you this, Ross.
The risk is to be,
no, but Ross,
the reward,
Ross, hold on.
Joe, let me ask is you get one shot in the end zone?
Let me ask you a question, Ross.
That's the reward?
Ross, if Aaron Rodgers is your quarterback, Would you do it?
No.
I totally dis. If I had Aaron Rodgers or Tom Brady or a great quarterback, and I told my quarterback, hey, dude, in his ear, here's the deal. You're going to get one play. You're at the 14-yard line. You get one play. You have to throw it in the end zone for a touchdown or throw it away. You can't take a sack. I would trust the great quarterback. I wouldn't trust Hurts there. That's the difference in my opinion.
And I understand that. I would submit to you that even on that one play, a lot of things can happen. And what percentage chance from whatever their 12-yard line, 14-yard line, what percentage chance with the way these teams play defense now, with the zone they would have had, seven or eight guys in the end zone, the chance that they're going to be able to throw the ball into the end zone for a touchdown is so small anyway. It's probably more likely you get it picked off, actually, that I think them going for it was one of the worst decisions I've seen Sirianni make.
So tell us about the performance of the offensive line, Ross. In the grand scheme of things, the protection, how improved was it? How well did the run game function? We had so many offensive linemen rolling through there. Tell us about how difficult it is to have that sort of cohesive play when you don't have a cohesive group of guys out there on the field.
By the way, John, before I forget, I give the name Stud at Starbucks.
Nice.
It cracks me up when they say Stud. I go, oh, that's me.
That's hilarious.
Nice. Boy, you guys, man.
So I got to I can't emphasize this enough. You guys know through Odyssey that I go on radio stations, you know, at least seven or eight around the country every week, okay? Every single other city, all they do is bitch and moan about their offensive line. All they do is complain about their offensive line and say how bad they are, how that's the reason why they stink, all of those things. We really need to appreciate what we have here. I mean, we really, really do. I mean, they lose the entire right side of the offensive line.
Yeah.
Steen comes in and plays very well. You know, Fred Johnson is like a journeyman guy that's been cut a bunch of times. For Stoutland to get Becton and Fred Johnson to play this well, it's like a masterpiece. They played very, very well. I will say this with a small caveat that the Saints were not always going all out to try to get sacks. They wanted to make Hurts beat them throwing the ball from the pocket without A.J. Brown. So that's one reason why sometimes they were pass protecting for 5 or 6 seconds was because, but think about this. Think about the Saquon touchdown at the end where it looked so good that people thought maybe the Saints let them score. If you're scoring touchdowns on inside zone and people think they're letting you score, but you're not, you're just running them over, that is awesome.
Yeah, very impressive.
That feels good.
By the way, Sirianni on Saquon's usage, which has been a lot through three games. We'll get to that yesterday when we asked him about it during the show. Let's go to the phones. Let's talk to Mike right now. Hi, Mike.
Good morning, gang. How's everyone?
Doing well, Mike.
What's up, Mike?
Very good. Very good. So on this Nick topic, you know, I've had this idea that kicking around in my mind a little bit, and I think it's finally coming to fruition here, where, you know what, I've always been uncomfortable with this CEO coach title, because the CEO, as we know, has ultimate control, and we don't think that Nick has ultimate control. Nick is really, he's more like a third coordinator. He's like the chief HR officer. You know, he's there for culture. He's there for energy.
Yeah, but Mike, we found out, unless he's lying, and I don't think he is, we found out that he has the power to override Kellen Moore and call play. And I didn't know if he had it, and honestly, I kind of thought he did not. Like, he's not as much a CEO coach as I thought 2 days ago before he announced it was his decision of which play to call on 4th and 1.
Okay, but now it's like, okay, where does that line get drawn?
Good question.
Exactly. No, that's the point.
Good question.
When do you say, hey, Nick, I don't like that play? You know, and who has veto power on that? Because I thought Kellen Moore was deferred to as it pertained to offense.
Listen,
so does Kellen Moore have veto power on Nick's veto power on Kellen Moore?
It's... Look, Mike, you're asking a great question, and John is too. And We don't know. You know, I mean, the way I surmise it is that Howie and Jeffrey have authorized Nick to still have typical head coach power on a game day, which is to override a coordinator if he feels the desire to do so, the need to do so. And from that standpoint, candidly, I wonder how different it is than last year.
I almost feel like this is Jeffrey and Howie like redefining the definition of a head coach, because this is not a head coach. This is, again, it's almost like a third coordinator. So it's just, I'm still a Nick guy. I still have belief. Yeah. Obviously, wow. I have a lot of questions. Here's why I have belief. Because the players have belief in him. Because he hasn't lost the players.
I don't.
So that's the one thing I'm clinging on to.
Mike, I hope you're right. I hope that's the truth. Yeah. I hope that these players still value his opinion. I hope that they still revere him. Because I revered my coaches. My head coaches, I wanted to do right by them. I would run through a wall for them. I hope every guy on that team feels that way about Nick Sirianni. I can't imagine that's the case.
All right, Mike, give me a big answer here. A royal fictional character.
Just one last thing. And, John, I think that's because we're of a different generation. As far as a royal, Prince Akeem.
Oh, big answer as well. Been waiting for that one also. Big, big, big answer, obviously. All right, coming to America. You know, that issue we're just talking about, let's tackle it with some of the audio that's been said in recent days by Sirianni and Kellen Moore.